them in the pasture, run them in the pen, work them on the Sundays, do it all again. Race them in the sand, buck them in the mud, drip a cowboy's sweat, bleed a cowboy's blood.
I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddlebrock Rider, and you're watching the Peppert Stewart Show.
He told you. He told you. I didn't tell you, so you tuned in again. I don't know if you're locked in a basement, if you're stuck in Corona time. I don't know, but whoever left this on, that's your fault. A lot of stuff's happening. A lot of stuff is going on. It's fixing to be 2022, another year, so... Another year comes, will be new, more surprises, more opportunities, and other things happening. But we do want to thank the sponsors that have been with us since, golly, what, 2012? The early podcast, 2012, back before podcast was a thing. You know, nobody was doing that back then. So then we jumped on the TV stream in 2013. So we got all these folks that's been with us. Most of them been there for a long time. So we're looking forward to another year in 2022 and hopefully add a few more. If you want to be on there, you know what to do. Go to the website, send us an email, and we'll discuss it. The Charity Foundation happened. We're going to talk about that. We got a little bit of stuff to do with the celebrity cutting, raising money for breast cancer and all cancer, really. There's a show jumping tour going on in Fort Worth, the Split Rock Show Jumping Tour. It's the horses jumping stuff. It's pretty interesting. It's a big international event. It's pretty neat to watch. If you've never seen it, check it out. We're going to show you a little bit of that later, and possibly we're going to talk to Derek over in Fort Worth. He's over there right now getting things set up. So if he's not too busy, we'll probably talk to him in a little bit. We got some horse and cow news for you. It's wintertime, you know, feeding your cows in the winter. The National Rain and Cow Horse Association did something. We got the Fort Worth Stock Show coming up. The NFR just happened. The big news broke about the American Teton Ridge and all that mess, which that's a whole nother animal I don't want to get into. But anyway, that we got American PBR. And then going on right now this week over in the stockyards, the WCRA has got a big cowboy Christmas top deal going on over there. So you want to check that out. It's still Corona time. People are out hunting. So does your deer have Corona? We're going to let you know. Maybe not. We got another Guinness record for you. We got some more interesting stories, some nonsense. What we've been up to, where we went, where I was at this weekend. That was a good deal. We'll tell you about that. But right now, I want you to check out the trailer for this new show that comes out this Sunday night, 1883. So
y'all just sit and watch.
You look like you had it figured.
Thanks for the help.
You James Dutton?
Yes, sir.
Mind if we speak?
Whatever you're selling, I ain't buying.
Daddy! My family's meeting me here tonight, and we're heading north.
I'm gonna keep heading north till I find country's worth the journey.
I admire your courage, but you're gonna pick a fight you can't win before long.
What's that for?
Not sure. But I'd sure hate you don't have it when we find out.
This journey will be dangerous all the way to Oregon.
I believe in you. And I believe in that boy. And I believe in our daughter. And that's all.
You can police yourselves, or I can do it.
We don't control them. It's a free country.
That is a free country. That is no man's land, and that's where we're heading.
Anybody else want to fuck with my family? Anybody?
There's only one killer in Fort Worth, and that's me.
streaming December 19th, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
That's what I just said. I just said that.
You did.
I just said that. December 9th. That's Sunday. Golly. But yeah, that's an interesting deal. 1883 is going to be fun. They filmed some of that here in Fort Worth. Some got filmed in Palestine. They're up there filming right now in Guthrie. I wonder what places in Guthrie they could be filming at. And they're doing some filming way up there where it's cold. Too cold for me. Way too cold for me. But I don't know. What have you seen of it? Have you paid attention to any of the 1883 stuff? Or?
I've been watching a little bit, just kind of keeping up, seeing what they're doing. And, you know, I haven't. I'm still catching up. I was late to the Yellowstone train. So I'm still trying to catch up. I haven't started watching the new season yet because, like I said, haven't got there. But I'm excited. You know, a lot of cool actors. I'm a huge Sam Elliott fan. You know, when I was a kid, I saw Tombstone for the first time. And since then, I've been sold on him. So it's really, really cool to be able to, you know, see actors like that. And they're bringing in Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, a lot of big actors. And see that, you know, come to Fort Worth and, you know, a lot of the older stuff as well should be really, really cool. And I love old Westerns. I'm a huge history buff. So that'll be really, really cool.
Yeah, and they're going to kind of, even though they're telling the story of the Dutton family, they're still going to try to, you know, they're trying to put as much history into it as they can as they go through. So it's going to be pretty interesting how it all takes place. You know, I got to play over there a little bit in the 1883 deal. I still can't. I'll give you about, what, 3 or 4 weeks after it happens, and I can tell you all about it. But it was interesting to be out there and you know, with them and doing that. And you know, Tim McGraw was out there, Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. Sam Elliott. They were all out there. And I don't know, it was just a fun deal. It's just one of them deals that when you get the opportunity to be part of something like that, just do it. Like, hey, let's go. Why not? Why not do it? I'd like to stay on and done the 6-month deal, but I can't do that. Sorry, guys. Not doing that. I'll play around with you guys here and there a little bit and do it. And people were giving me a hard time about that. Well, hey, why don't you go ahead and do a long time? I'm like, no, it sounds fun being in a Western, but I think I would rather do something that's different, something that you don't do.
Yeah.
Go be in a motorcycle gang movie or a mobster movie or something different, something that's not. Yeah. You know, the
you
same
raise,
old same.
You raise cattle.
Yeah. Because what happens a lot of people when they're watching the show, and we've talked about this with Forrest Smith 100 times, that yes, there's a lot of stuff that gets missed in the show. It's not going to be 100% accurate because it is a TV show.
Yep.
It is TV, guys. It's not a documentary that you're watching. And if you jump into some of those Yellowstone Facebook groups, it has almost like a cult following similar to what Dallas had, you know, back in the 80s. Where these people in these groups, they believe in their minds that these are real people.
Yeah.
This is real stuff. And to watch the back and forth in those groups, it's hilarious. But, I mean, it's great for the Western, you know, Western lifestyle.
Well, yeah.
Plus, in the last couple episodes in this season, Taylor Sheridan has brought some other, I don't want to say hot topics, to the show that other shows and other Hollywood types, you know, stay away from.
Yeah.
Like one of the episodes they addressed, they had the animal rights protesters.
Oh yeah.
Well, they addressed that and they took the people and you see, I wish I had that quote with you. I could tell you what it was, but it was pretty good. Like he explained to them mm-hmm. about the animal. Have you ever planted a field? Have you ever planted your own crops? You ever done any of that? You don't know how that works. You don't know the process. You just know the end result.
Exactly.
And so that was kind of interesting. And they did it again this last episode with some other type protesters. So it's good to see them come out and do that, because what other Hollywood show are you going to watch is going to do that?
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and combat anything. They're going to come out. That's why they were saying that, you know, with Yellowstone being one of the top shows, the number one drama on cable TV, you know, it looks like that, you know, masculinity is not dead. Manly men still brings in the ratings.
Yeah. You know?
There's no man buns.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that whenever, you know, they see it in the, you know, in the a lot of the media out there, and you'll read on news websites and stuff like that, they'll say, oh, you know, this masculinity thing. Well, then you go and you see just like a show like Yellowstone will come out and have all of these, you know, manly men. They got the beard, the mustache, rough and tumble, dirty, riding horses and all that. That just shows you how out of touch some of these people actually are that are writing these articles, that are, you know, they aren't in touch with the actual what people like. They are just writing from their own point of view or their own little sound chamber, you know, that they hear from.
Yeah. And that, and research goes a long way. Do your own research. Do your own research. I tell people all the time. We've stressed this on the show for years. Even these goofy stories that we read to people. Do your own research. Just because you hear somebody say something or your friend on Facebook shared it doesn't mean that it's 100%, because they're, your friend's not a genius. Sorry, I'm going to hurt your feelings. But speaking of Yellowstone, the Carity event happened, the Carity celebrity cutting that raises a lot of money for cancer. And if you want to donate money to a cancer foundation, the Carity Foundation is the one to do it, because the funds that are donated go directly to help the patients. Whether they're in, either going in, coming out, they give them transportation, they cover doctor bills, and the doctor bills don't, the money doesn't go to the patient, the money goes to the bill. So if you got a doctor bill, you got your cancer stuff, you give it to them, they handle it. So the money goes directly to, you know, take care of some of your costs or your transportation or whatever. So if you're looking for a local organization or a good organization to be part of or to help out with, that's where you want to go. That's the Carity Foundation. The celebrity cutting just took place in Fort Worth last Friday. I'm a week
last
behind.
Last Friday?
The first Friday of December.
Yeah,
every year.
Last Friday.
So check it out. We're going to flip up some photos for you to take a look at. You know, that's the opening. Opening there, there's Jennifer Landon plays Teeter on Yellowstone. That right there was the Dallas Mounted Patrol escorting the celebrities to the arena. So that was a pretty good deal. A lot of folks were there. Forrest Smith was there from the show. Taylor wasn't there. He was busy. That there is Lynn and Beverly on both ends. Those are the two ladies that are responsible for the Carity Foundation. They are the masterminds behind it, and they do a great job of... there is Forrest. We talked to him all the time. So we had a good time over there, chatting it up on and off the camera. So, so it was a good time. Who else we got in there? Oh, there's Jimmy. Jimmy got some hands-on experience at the 4-6s. If you missed it Sunday night, but he did pretty good in the cutting. And it was a good time. We got a couple of videos, well, a couple of clips, because Kelly Riley was there that plays Beth. She did a speech in the arena. I've got the video of it, but I didn't load the video because of some of the words that were used. But she had a good time out there. She didn't compete in the cutting, but what people don't know is she is a pretty good rider. She grew up working in polo barns, exercising polo horses and stuff. So she's British, so she's from over there where polo's a big deal. And so she's very familiar with riding, but she's one of the most experienced riders, other than Forrest, of course, on the show that doesn't ride. I mean, every time she rides, and that's it. But we did talk to her, so let's see what she had to say about being part of Carity. And then Jay Novacek just kind of takes over the interview.
You know what? Last year, it was all online, and anything Taylor and Nicole, who are really good friends of mine, you know, anything that they support and they ask me to do, I'm there. Yeah. And I know that this is really an important cause for them, something they care really passionately about. And I mean, there's not a person alive who hasn't had cancer touch their lives somewhere, and touch mine. And so if we can raise some money and help some folks, then I'll do what I can to help. So yeah, it's great.
Okay.
Buildings out of New York,
hey,
in the mountains.
You win this?
Hey, there you go. Thanks to you.
No, thanks to you. You did it all.
Jay. Yeah. Jay dragged me the whole way last time. So today I'm just going to get up on the horse behind him, and you'll cut for both of us.
I can do that.
Thank you very much, sir. You heard it here first. It's great to see you, brother. How are you, man?
Awesome.
yourself.
Good.
You're
good.
Doing awesome.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. It's been an incredible gift.
And a blessing.
It really is, yeah.
Good to
get to spend more time in Texas, get to spend more time in, I just feel so lucky.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah,
it's a great,
beautiful.
Great place to be, isn't it?
Incredible, yeah. Once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm so grateful for it.
All right, brother.
But cheers, brother. I'll see you out there.
All right.
That was that. It was a good time. Good time out there at Carrity. Every year, the first Friday in December, you want to be there because tickets will sell out fast. They sold out real quick. Really quick. But we did say we're going to talk to some folks today. We're going to talk to Derek. He's the founder and the manager of the Split Rock Show Jumping Tour. It's a world-class show jumping. Riders and horses from 9 countries are going to be in Fort Worth this week, competing for the first ever Fort Worth International. It's going to be highlighted by the $215,000 Jumping World Cup from Fort Worth. So you want to be sure and check that out on Saturday at 7:30. But enough about me talking about it. Let me show you a little clip, kind of what it's about, and then we'll talk to Derek and see what's going on in Cowtown.
This December, the Will Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas, plays host to a world-class show jumping event. The feature will be Olympians from the US and around the world competing in one of the most prestigious competitions in the sport, the Longines FEI World Cup, presented by Lugano Diamonds. So join us December 15 through 19 for everything Fort Worth has to offer and spectacular show jumping at the Fort Worth International. Visit splitrockjumpingtour.com for tickets and details.
Looks like a good time. Looks like fun right there. And speaking of show jumping, we got Derek here. Tell us about it. There he is. Derek, what is going on? You're here live on the Pepper Stewart Show. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys got going on there in Fort Worth this week?
Yeah, thanks for having me. We have a major World Cup qualifying event here in Fort Worth this week. This is the single largest show jumping event ever to be held in the state of Texas. We run events all across America. We have some of the best riders in the world, Olympic caliber, Olympic former Olympians competing here this week. It's not a Western discipline, obviously. It's a show jumping discipline, but we're really excited to be here. The town has been absolutely amazing and welcoming us so far. As you can see, I have a little bit of the arena behind me here in the big stadium and Coliseum at Will Rogers Coliseum. We have our feature event Saturday evening starting at 7 p.m. It's the World Cup Jumping Fort Worth, which is a qualifying event for Show Jumping World Cup Finals. So it's one of the 8 largest show jumping Grand Prix indoor circuit in North America. So we're really excited to be here.
And it looks fun. I don't know a whole lot about it. Now, I do watch it from time to time. It does come on TV and I watch, because to me, it's interesting because I like to see, as being a horseman, I like to see the athleticism of the horse and the rider and the horse working together. When they jump and they're both in sync, I mean, it looks great. And so I have a few questions as far as the show jumping, like you have there. Is there height requirements or any kind of regulations as far as the jumps? Do they go up? Do they go down? Is everything set to one?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're offering it this show. It's a very special event. So we're only having one competition arena. At some other horse shows, might see many other competitions arenas, but it's really special here. So we have really every level, from the lower levels all the way up to the Olympic Grand Prix level. So we have like 1 meter in height jumps in the morning sessions at a very low level. And we work our way all the way up to the Grand Prix level, which is the highest level. So Saturday evening, it will be 1 meter 60 in height, which is over 5 feet in height for a Grand Prix. And in this type of Coliseum, it's huge. I mean, you're going to see some of the biggest show jumping in the world with the best riders, and it's going to be really adrenaline pumping. It's going to be exciting.
And how is it scored? Is it time plus points, or how's the score?
Yeah,
go?
So everybody's goal, especially for the Grand Prix on Saturday evening, is to qualify for the jump off. And every time you have knock a pole down, you incur four faults. And anytime you go over the time allowed by 4 seconds, you incur one time fault. So in order to jump around and qualify for the jump off and have a chance to win, you have to clear all the jumps without knocking them down within a set of time allowed. Okay. So the course designer sets a specific time allowed for the course, and then you have to be within that time allowed to not incur faults. So it's called jumping clear and clean and fault free in order to make it to the jump off.
Okay. And as far as the folks that are competing this week, where are the competitors from? Is it international? So they're going to be different countries represented?
We have different representatives from all over the world. Actually, I believe we have 9 countries competing, people from Israel, Mexico, Canada, obviously America, Germany, Sweden, I believe. We have all different countries competing here, which is great. We have a lot of people from all over the world based here in America, actually, in the sport of show jumping. So they're representing their countries here this week.
Okay. And what are, if you know offhand, what are a couple of the big names that are going to be there this weekend that people are going to kind of be looking to watch?
Sure. We have some really incredible riders. We have a multi-Olympian in Tiffany Foster from Canada, who has previously won a World Cup leg on tour this year so far. We have a living legend, American show jumper, Margie Engel, who is absolutely a crowd favorite. She's been to the Olympics, World Cup finals, World Equestrian Games. She's really in the sport of show jumping, just a really an iconic figure. She's competing here with her best horses. Hometown favorite, Aaron and Christian Heineking are both competing here from right here in Fort Worth, Texas. So it's great to have their entire crew and their entire team competing here this weekend. So I think the crowd that comes out here is going to really have an exciting group of riders to watch.
Okay. And you've still got, we've put the link out for the tickets. So I'm guessing they still have opportunity to get tickets for
absolutely
for multiple days.
We've sold many tickets so far. However, we definitely have some left. It's really affordable for people to come out. We don't want costs to be really the issue of coming to experience the show jumping event. We hope to be coming back here year after year. So we really want people to have a good taste in their mouth and understand how exciting it can be.
Okay. And for those folks watching, of course, we have people that watch. We're global. So we're basically in the U.S., but we've got everywhere from England to Ireland to Mexico at watch. So if they're watching this and they're interested in maybe catching another tour stop, where would it be the best place to send them to check out where you're going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. We have tour stops all over America. Our home base is in Lexington, Kentucky. So we have several events there. We have an event in California. We have an Aiken, South Carolina, obviously here in Fort Worth, Texas. We have a brand new event in January. Sorry. We have a brand new event in January in Sarasota, Florida, coming up next month. So we're pretty much all over the place, and any kind of region in America, you can catch us. You can follow us on social media for all updates. You can download our Split Rock Jumping Tour app, has all of our live streaming going on throughout the week. So you can watch from at home as well. Or you can go to splitrockjumpingtour.com for all of our dates and locations.
Okay. So they've got, if they're not able to make it out to Fort Worth this weekend, then they can catch you on, I guess on the mobile app. You've got a mobile app and the YouTube channel.
Yep.
And the website. Everything's live. So if you miss it, it's your own fault.
Exactly.
Pretty much. All right. Well, Eric, man, I appreciate you visiting with us and telling us about it. I know when I was in Ireland last year, I went over to the National Stud over there and toured that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was great. I loved it.
We have some, a few actually incredible Irish riders competing here as well today. I believe we have a top 20 rider in the world in Conor Swale competing. So we're excited to have this high level people come to Texas.
All right. We appreciate you taking time to visit with us. I know you're busy over there getting things ready to go, but we'll send some folks your way and have a good show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Good stuff. See, I watch that all the time when it comes on TV, but I don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah.
I mean, I see them jumping and I see like they have a time limit. It was a time limit, and every now and then knock a pole down, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just watching it because it's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool to watch and see, you know, like you said, the athleticism, you know, a rider being in sync with your horse is just like, you know, some of the Western disciplines.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to be in sync. But I know I have enough trouble staying in a Western saddle. There is no way you're going to get me to jump in an English saddle. There's no way. You got no swells. You got nothing.
No way, man. I pass on that. But okay, that's fun fact on that. I actually got into an English saddle once. We never aired the footage, but I went.
I wonder why.
We had some pictures of it. I think I've got the footage somewhere, but we had the Texas Arena League.
Oh, yeah.
With the Texas Arena League, they come on with us all the time, and they do their polo matches over in Forney.
Oh, okay.
Over by Forney, they have the polo matches over there, and they have, I think we went over there when they were having the collegiate matches over there. And so when I went over, we're filming and doing interviews and stuff, and they're like, "Well, you want to try it?" I'm like, "I guess." And then I'm here, so they put me up on this horse in the little saddle, and I'm like sitting on it. I'm like, "Okay, this is weird." Then I've got two sets of reins because you have two sets of reins you work, and then you've got the club. But what I find out is, if you're born after like 1915, you can only use your right hand. So I'm left-handed. So it's illegal in polo to be left-handed, apparently.
So you're not right. You're wrong.
Right. That's what happened. So they're like, you know, just for the heck of it, just because we're messing around, you know, you can use your left hand. So I went out there, you know, hitting the balls and doing the, and I wasn't even going fast. I was just like a walk. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. If this horse took off out there, you know, pick me up off the ground. There's no way I'm gonna do this. And now, if you know, you do it every day and you practice it and you know, you work at it, you could probably, you know, you could do it. But man, I was like, this is a whole different ball game right here. Don't fall off. Oh, it's speaking of don't fall off. And the picture they put out when the Texas Arena League put out their 2021 like. Sponsor photo collage, whatever.
Uh huh.
If you look over in the very small corner on the one side, you see me over there, you know, stick trying to hit the ball. But it was fun. I need to get back over there to another one of those deals. What else we got? What are we going to talk about? You want to do?
I say we got in FR, we got Fort Worth Stock Show, we got the American, we got PBR. What's next, sir?
Go ahead and do some NFR. Let's see what happened.
All right, let's see the NFR. For those of y'all,
go ahead, just break a leg.
For those of y'all that didn't watch, which I'm sure everybody that's watching this more than likely did watch the NFR,
except me.
Of course,
I didn't.
I did catch most of it, even if it was on replay the next morning. Got our champions, in case you didn't hear. Casey Field won the bareback riding. We got Tyler Waggis back at steer wrestling. Caleb Driggers and Junior Nagueta, both in the team roping. Stetson Wright won the saddle bronc and the all-around. Caleb Schmidt is our champion tie-down roper. Jordan Briggs won the barrel racing. And Sage Kimsey won the bull riding world title again.
How many does that make for him?
I have no idea. I know it's in our little packet here somewhere, I'm sure. But he has quite a few now. I mean, with all the stuff he's been doing, I mean, I can't find it. I know with Sage, I mean, right now it seems like his career in the PRCA, he just hasn't been able to be touched in the last few years. As far as all around goes, Stetson Wright, this is his second one in a row, and Sage Kimsey has 7. I just got a... from my little elf below the desk here. Tell me, see, yeah,
whoa,
7.
What? You got a what?
Don't start with me. Feed me facts, okay?
Oh!
Sage Kimsey has 7 titles in the PRCA. Stetson Wright, though, back-to-back, all-around. And last year he won the all-around and the bull riding. This year he took saddle bronc and the all-around. So that's pretty cool to see. Great. I heard a lot of friends went over there to Vegas. They had a blast. They said it was cool being back in Vegas. Had a great time. Some people said it was the best one they'd had because, of course, it was back in Vegas. They were trying to put on the full pageantry, you know, to keep the PRCA there and not, you know, bring it back here to Arlington. Wink, wink. So I know that a lot of people over there had a great time.
Always a good time to go to the NFR. Always a good time. I'll break up your rodeo news with some cow stuff. Because everybody likes cow stuff, right? I got cow stuff somewhere. There it is. It's winter time. Winter's coming on. So, Elizabeth Below. Elizabeth Below sent us this story. Is it below freezing? Maybe you can't tell the difference between 15 and 32 degrees after spending a few minutes outside, but your cows can. Imagine that. Slight change in temperature has a considerable impact on the energy and the cow's nutrition. Cold stress occurs when the cattle require more energy to sustain basic bodily functions at a specific temperature. Temperature decrease, cow's nutrition requirements increase, which that's with everything. It's cold outside. They need more food to stay warm.
Yep. Body works harder.
You got to feed them, right? Feed them. If your cows are shortened on nutrition during the cold stress, you can have a domino effect on performance. Nutritional deficiency results from cold stress can lead to cows producing lighter and weaker calves, low quality colostrum, and later to breed back. So it can upset your breeding season and put a little damper on your conception rates and your weaning weights. So make sure you're feeding your cows. Strategies for managing and feeding your cattle in winter can help alleviate cold stress and support cow nutritional requirements. Let's see. What did she tell us to do? You want to mitigate cold stress? Keep your cows warm.
There you go.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Put them in the house. Bring them inside. It's cold outside. It's cold. Bring them in. So if you're out in the if you got pastures, make sure you got windbreaks. We've got, half of the pasture in the bottom is full of, down in the bottom, full of cedar trees. And that's where they hang out. That's their windbreak. So if you don't have that in your pastures, you need to put up some windbreaks or snow breaks if you're further north.
Yeah. Or if you're in Texas in February.
Yeah. For the 1 week it snows. Protect your cows from the wind, the rain, and the snow. What you need to do, snow often reminds us, think about nutritional requirements. But what if snow never falls? Don't matter. Still cold. Know what you're feeding your cows. Make sure you know what you feed. If you're not sure about your forage, get it tested. Make sure you're feeding your cows something because you don't want to be feeding them emptiness. You don't want to just be feeding filler. You need to have something in there that's got some nutritional value to it. Evaluate your cows. Keep an eye on their body condition scores. If you don't know about that, figure it out. You can always go to BQA, become BQA Certified Beef Quality Assurance. Get certified with that. It's free. You can get certified in cow-calf, stalker, hauler, whatever you do with cows. They've got a certification for you. It's free, and you might learn something. Third trimester, 1,300-pound cow requires 13 pounds at 30 degrees. At 0 degrees, the cow needs an additional 4 pounds, roughly about 17 pounds. So when it's cold, feed more. So moral of the story, feed your cows more in the wintertime, or you're going to have trouble during calving.
Interrupt your whole season, your whole operation.
Yep, put a damper in that sucker.
Yes, sir. So.
What do you got?
Speaking of wintertime.
What happened?
It is deer season.
Uh-oh.
Right here in Texas. Wintertime. It's also COVID season right here in Texas. So.
We still have that?
depends on who you talk to. Research has shown that deer can become infected with COVID-19, raising questions among some hunters about whether field dressing deer or eating venison can pose a risk of contracting the disease. Quote, at this point, deer are not considered a significant vector for the spreading of COVID-19, but there are some simple things hunters can do to reduce the risk of contracting and keep themselves and their loved ones safe. Food CoveNet team, led by NC State, they had a one-page fact sheet aimed specifically at sharing information with hunters. They said the best practices are to wear a face covering when close to the deer, wear gloves while field dressing, wash your hands, keep raw meat and other carcass parts away from ready-to-eat food, and cook deer meat to a minimum of 158 degrees. So, biggest thing, cook your food. Should be good to go.
Cook the COVID right out of it.
Yes, sir. So, that'll do it. So, you know, throw it on the grill. Make sure, I know a lot of you like your, you know, a well-trained vet might be able to save it. But make sure you you cook that venison really good to make sure it, you know, get all the bad stuff out of it.
God, you got to cook that sucker. You got to cook it good. Speaking of cold, okay, I was in this last week, which is, well, we didn't film because I didn't check my schedule. I was in Jefferson, Texas. Well, if you've never been to Jefferson, you need to go. It's a neat little town full of shops and stuff and history and all that. So it's pretty neat. So we stayed in the old historic Conn Hotel, which should be a saloon. It was a brothel. It was a barbershop. People die there. It's supposed to be haunted. I don't know. They say it's haunted.
Okay.
So we go to all these haunt things. We do all this haunted stuff all the time anyway. So haunted stuff, no big deal. We were there for the Christmas thing. We took the wife's mom or aunt, which I threw out of the golf cart going on the road.
And you have that on video.
I wish I did. She fell out in the intersection. Well, she was sitting in the golf cart back to the back, so she didn't see the bump coming. Boom, rolled right out in the middle of the intersection.
That was on purpose, wasn't it?
Well, she's accident prone.
Nah.
She flipped out of the tube. Too. She flipped out of the tube on the lake. She fell off the dock. And now she flipped out of the golf cart. So I just said, I don't think you're going to want to go with us anywhere anymore because something happens every time.
Every time.
So we're out there. We're there for the Christmas thing, but, you know, we always do ghost stuff when we go places. If you look up Texas Paranormal Investigations 903 or something like that, we go with them all the time. So we're out there in this supposedly haunted hotel. So Thursday night, the bathroom light keeps flickering. So I'm like, something wrong. So I go in there and mess with the switch. It goes off. Friday night, we go to bed. And about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, witch's hour, whatever they call it, I wake up and all the lights are on. And I'm like, what is going on? So I turn all the way to bed. So some people say ghosts. Some people say electrical issues in old buildings. I don't know. But then we did go to the Grove, which is supposed to be one of the top five haunted destinations in Texas. And that was pretty good.
See, if I worked in a place like that, I would be that person. I would go in and, like, people would be asleep. I'd go in and, like, turn on the lights in their room and leave.
Well, there you go. Well, I got to go. I don't know what happened. But it was good. Jefferson, if you've never been to Jefferson, Texas, look it up. Go out there. There you can drive a golf cart on the street.
There you go.
So you rent a golf cart. You drive it around to all the antique shops, restaurants, stuff. It's a pretty neat little town. A lot of history to it. I ain't got time to tell you about it, but look into it. But what I do have time to tell you about is rodeo stuff's coming back. People have been talking about Teton Ridge has burst on the scene, getting in everybody's business, which is, you know, some people think it's bad, some people think it's good. So far, it's been good for Western sports, rodeo, the horse market especially. They bought a bunch of horses for a lot of money. And they took over the American from RFD.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go to the American, you need to do check this out to get some tickets.
The American, where the cowboy spirit in all of us comes alive. Where Old West meets New World. And with $3 million up for grabs, the richest one-day rodeo in the world tests the limits of the toughest of cowboys. This is Western competition at its finest. Experience a live concert performance from superstars Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. The American, March 6th at AT&T Stadium. Tickets on sale now at SeatGeek.com.
Get your tickets and be there or be square. The American and the PBR reunite. They're reunited.
It's awesome. I'm excited.
I thought you were gonna sing it. March 5th and 6th of Deuces. God, every time I say 22, I say Deuces. It reminds me of that YouTube video. It is hilarious, but I can't show it right now. In a landmark partnership between Teton Ridge and the PBR, the two iconic Western lifestyle brands have announced the reunion between the American, the richest single-day rodeo in the world, and the premier bull riding league. So, deuces, they will be there at the American, so make sure you get tickets for that, check it out. They've upped some of the stuff, the breakaway. They got breakaway in there. I think somewhere it said they upped the money for breakaway, so it's going to be a bigger payout somewhere in there. If you want to read this, any of these news stories or press releases, whatever that we tell you guys about, if you go to pepperstewart.com and click on press releases, a lot of the stuff you can read for yourself and not see what we skip. And you can also go there and click on the links to check out the sponsors for the show and visit their websites and see if you need something from them. But if you want to read up on this, the American Teton Ridge, American PBR deal, those stories are there on the site. We did tell you about the Stockyards. Has the WCRA's got stuff going on?
Yep, they're doing their Cowboy Christmas.
Yep, so that's going on over there. We told you about the feeder cattle. And let me tell you about this right quick. The Cow Power, how you say it? Cow Power Quarter Horses becomes the title sponsor of the NRCHA, the National Reined Cow Horse Association, to become the title sponsor for the premier event showed annually, you gotta say that correctly, in Fort Worth, Texas. The Celebration of Champions brings together riders for a world or national championship title. Competitors in the hashtags and Western Bloodstock World's Greatest Horseman, and also the Derby Aged Horse in the Trace Osos Cows Derby. I don't know what that means. It's an event that showcases Rand Cow Horse and the industry to its fullest. So that's going to be in 2022, another Deuces in Fort Worth. The Bell family has been developing a lot of words. For more information, go to NRCHA.com, and you can read more about it there. Or, like I said before, go to pepperstewart.com, click on press releases, and read it all there. Because there's more than just these press releases in there. There's also stories. Sometimes I write articles and they're posted there as well. I would not encourage you reading those. what else we got? You had a COVID deer, but somebody went deer hunting.
So they did go deer hunting.
They did.
The problem was,
okay,
it was illegal deer hunting.
What?
So a police officer was charged with poaching deer from his own squad car. Off-duty police officer used his car and the spotlight on his squad car to spotlight and poach deer with his friends, one of which was a convicted felon who was not allowed to even be in possession of a firearm. And I would say this is out of Florida because that's what it sounds like, but you will be wrong. This is out of Louisiana. Cop and three friends were busted by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries for what they call hunting at night. Agents said they were on patrol by 8 p.m. on December 5th, and I cannot pronounce the name of that town. They soon found a vehicle shining for deer in an open field on private property. Turns out the vehicle was a Louisiana police car. After quick inspection, the cruiser agents found four men along with three rifles and two dead deer. They have been charged with hunting deer during illegal hours, hunting from a motor vehicle, and trespassing. The convicted felon was arrested for being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm and could face up to 20 years in prison. The other men face 240 days in jail and $2,000 in fines if convicted. So, moral of the story, do not hunt deer from your patrol car.
Follow the rules, guys. Did they at least have a hunting license? Did he mention
well,
that?
Well, I mean, I feel that if you're a convicted felon hunting from a police car, you're more than likely not going to have a hunting license.
Golly.
So,
that is crazy. All right, so we got the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo that is coming up real soon.
Is starting on Friday, January the 14th, and is going to run all the way through Championship Saturday on February 5th.
Yeah.
So it looks going to be, there's a lot of awesome stuff. We're going to have Dickie's Day. There's going to be TCU Day, Military Appreciation Day, Cook's Children's Day. There's going to be all kinds of great stuff going on.
They're cooking children?
No. Cook's Children's Hospital.
Oh, okay. Makes more sense.
Can't do anything with him. So don't forget, go on out there. There's all kinds of great events. I know they are doing, like you said, the stock show, the rodeo. I think they're doing a trap shooting event. They're doing all kinds of awesome stuff down there in the Stockyards and Dickey's Arena.
A lot of stuff. Now, I thought you're having the Cook's Kids. I thought it's a big goat festival or something. I don't know what's going on. it might.
Maybe you never know.
You don't. There's no time. Although I did some gator while I was over in Jefferson. January the 14th and 15th, you have the Best of the West Ranch Rodeo. Then on the 16th, you got the Best of Mexico Celebration, the Celebration. You got Cowboys of Color Rodeo is going to be there. You got the Challenge of Champions, I think you said that. The Pro Rodeo Tournament. You got the Calf Scramble. And you got a lot of pictures of stuff. Those buckles are nice, and I'm going to try to snag one of those suckers. Where'd I end up? The Pro Rodeo Tournament goes on from the 22nd. The Challenge Champions 20th. 22nd is the PRCA Pro Rodeo Tournament, or the Pro Rodeo Tournament. It goes on to the 31st. It goes to the 1st. If you happen to notice, on Tuesday, January 25th, it is Pink Night. And looky right there, it's the Carity Foundation for a Pink Night at the Rodeo on the 25th. And if you jump down to January the 28th, is the Ranch Work Championship, and that is where I'll be. The 28th of January, I will be there at 10 o'clock in the morning for the Ranch Work Championship. So if you're out there, don't come watch because you'll make me mess up.
Also, music lovers, we got Kansas, the Old 97s, Clint Black, Jeff Foxworthy, and Winborn's Music of Queen. They are all going to be performing there. You know, there's always some good music down there at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo.
Always something to see. Always something to see.
Always.
We can't get out of here without giving them a dang Guinness World Record. We've always got these stinking things.
We do. Well, they're setting them all the
always.
Time.
Always. Man, so I guess before we get out of here, let's give them a world record. You got a world record over
there? I do. New York family tops their own Guinness World Record with 687,000 Christmas lights. New York family who set the Guinness World Record with 601,736 Christmas lights on their property in 2014 said this year's display beats their own record with 687,000 lights. Tim Gay of LaGrangeville, whose family set the record with 346,283 in 2012, then topped it in 2014, and now has topped it again in 2021. I grew up in a family with 8 children, and he made the holidays magical for the whole family. From Thanksgiving to New Year's, it was like Grand Central Station at our home was very special to us. The family's annual light display serves as a fundraiser for local charities, including Unionvale Fire Department Community Fund. Gary said he's hoping to collect $500,000 with this year's show and donate it to charity.
Gary?
Gary.
Where's that Gary at?
Oh, that's Gay.
What?
I can't read. Or maybe I did it on purpose. I'm not really sure.
What I want to know is who's paying the light bill? That's a lot of electricity.
Well, I bet half of that $500,000 is actually going to their electricity bill for November through January. Imagine?
And I think there's a video that goes along with this that I'd say. And they've got music. Music,
oh, they do the whole show.
Yeah. So I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
That's cool.
Good stuff, though.
Yes, sir.
What do you got coming up? Before because we're probably going to be back here again until next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah. So what do you got coming up? Anything coming up before then? I know we got the Texas Cowpokes Day Work Challenge coming up this weekend, Saturday, over in Roy City. I'll be over there checking that out. I know the Texas Grease Paint Tour, the Bullfighting Tour, they've got some stuff going on.
Yes, sir.
On their Facebook page. I don't think I got anything else interesting happening between now and then. I don't know what you got. You got something coming up? Anything big?
No, not super big. We'll be traveling, seeing family, doing all the normal Christmas stuff, taking all the kids out. We'll probably go down and maybe even see some of that cowboy Christmas stuff down there at the Stockyards since I live over in that area. So that'll be a good time. But yeah, I'm just excited. Christmas time. Go see all the cool lights. And have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year if we don't see you again.
It is the holiday season.
Yes, sir.
And with that, I'm going to go get on the road.